I also wanted to reflect with Roger Blake for a few moments, Vice Chair for London and the South East for the campaign group Rail Future, in light of Network Rail announcing what it's calling a five-point plan to improve customer experience at London's Euston Station. If you're a regular listener to my programme, you'll know it's my least favourite place on the planet. Roger, good afternoon to you. I'm told you don't care much for it either.
Correct. Yeah, they got 5 points, and of course the headline grabber is the shutdown, if it hasn't already happened, of the ginormous advertising screen, which has aroused so much ire.
It, for people who might not be familiar with it, because I know it's horrors, but for people who aren't, talk us through what's wrong with Euston.
Well, it was built in the 60s, and it has simply been overwhelmed by the subsequent increased use of the railways, which is a good thing. And of course, there are longer term, and these plans are always longer term and not without controversy, proposals to rebuild, as eventually we hope and pray, terminus for the new north-south main line, otherwise known as HS2. But in the meantime, we've got a here and now problem of how to handle, particularly during times of disruption, the very welcome volumes of people that want to use the railway. And equally, there is going to be some people who are deterred from doing so because, as you've just said, it's many people's least favourite place.
Well, I do my best to avoid it now. I travelled 2 weeks ago from Euston to Bangor, and I ended up getting four trains instead of one. And a journey that was meant to take less than 3.5 hours took 6 hours. So that was a joy. Yeah. On a Friday night, that was just heaven, as you can imagine. Tell me this, though. Other stations, I use Waterloo Station a lot. That looks to me like it's doubled its capacity in the last decade through development and building. What's the obstacle to Euston having done the same?
Well, I think there are undoubtedly certain stations that have undergone various stages of transformation. I mean, one thinks of London Liverpool Street as perhaps the first of the London termini that were modernised, but even now they're having to do work there by taking out retail units along the gate line to increase concourse capacity. And I believe some of that has been done at Euston, but clearly a lot more needs to be done. And that's one of the points in this five-point plan, is simply to create more concourse space. But there are things here which can be done immediately, like switching off the sign, and can we see, please, as we used to be able to until recently, when our actual train is due to leave and from which platform, instead of having to turn to the side and try and find it on either of the two new ones they put in. The underlying issue, and it goes back to your recent experience that you just mentioned, is sorting out the performance, the reliability of the railway itself, so that it doesn't break down so often, and we don't have crowd crush problems at Euston
I mean, for people who think we're, you know, I get accused of this on Twitter when I moan about Euston, that you're being over the top. It would have been during the pandemic, in between lockdowns, but when life had got busy again. I was at Euston one Friday evening, as per, and I had that app that tells you where what train the platform's going to be on earlier than the screens did. So I was standing down near the platform. Then all the trains were cancelled because of somebody falling or perhaps even jumping onto the line. I don't know. But, you know, obviously that is going to disrupt things for quite a while. And so all the trains were suspended for several hours. And trying to find somebody to give you a sense of how many hours that would be was impossible. And in the end, I took the decision. Bear in mind, I was a good distance away from the concourse at this point because I was down near the platform. So I just took the decision to go and stay with a friend who lives around the corner and travel on the Saturday morning. And as I left the station, I'm not exaggerating when I say I suddenly remembered Hillsborough. In my guts, I remembered Hillsborough. There were people pressed up against those yellow concertinaed gates that close off the station. Those gates had been closed to keep people out of Euston. The concourse was already packed, and as I tried to leave and the gate was opened a bit for me to go out, people were trying to burst through to get onto the concourse, and I was the person giving them information about what they should and shouldn't do. And I just thought, this is so dangerous. And it was sort of 6:30 in the evening by now, Friday night, half of London deciding it needed to go north, and it was just crazy, absolutely crazy, and nobody was managing that crowd. Nobody. It was terrifying.
There are many occasions, too many, when, you know, this kind of thing happens at other London terminal stations as well, even stations outside London. London is likely to have the biggest volume of crowds, especially if it's on a Friday night, for goodness sake. And there are many other examples. You've cited Hillsborough, for goodness sake, let's not go there. But others, you know, football crushes, managing the Olympics, for example. So there are any number of examples of how to handle very, very large crowds. Sometimes it's easier when, you know, as with the Olympics, for example, you know there's an event coming. But even then, things can happen and get out of control very, very quickly and easily. So it's welcome that this five-point plan has been published. Some of the stuff you can do immediately. Other things are going to take a bit sooner, you know, a bit longer, sorry. And, clearly it has reached a point where Euston is the focus of attention. It deserves to be. And people have basically got to get a grip of it.
Some of the things are very simple things, aren't they? And they're things that when I saw them take place, I would just think, what? You've actually made it worse than it was? You've made this hellhole worse than it was? I mean, what kind of genius can make it worse than it was? And you've given the example of the badly positioned information boards and the advertising hoardings dominating the information when you really you need information. There's that example. But there's also the outside space where there used to be pleasant shops, well, pleasant-ish shops and cafes that you could sit outside, and there were umbrellas on the on the tables and things. And then all of a sudden it just started to look like a sort of 1970s communist regime town. And it was just, sorry, if it rains, it rains on you. And those seats have now just become, you know, a place where Fag Ash Lil goes and has a smoke while she's waiting. Deeply unpleasant environment. Deeply unpleasant. Shabby. Yeah, shabby.
Yeah. No, I mean, one can only agree with you, Sheila, and you know, there's got to be a way found to work through this so that there is a much clearer plan prepared for when you get major long-term disruption at the worst possible peak times. Because some stuff does go badly wrong periodically. All too often, sadly, examples you've just cited where, you know, it's completely outside the railway's control, that the railway is presented with a problem which it has to fix. And if somebody has ended up on the tracks, there always is the question that needs to be answered about, you know, was any criminality involved? And that's why these wretched things take so long to investigate and get things working.
I would never blame the railways when that happens, but I would blame them for the lack of information once they happen.
Yeah.
You know, and the failure to manage a crowd and inform a crowd. There were people arriving who just literally did not know why they couldn't get in.
Yeah. And it's a bit like the old adage about fighting a war. You know, you prepare to fight the next one on the basis of the previous one. The next one will inevitably be different. So although there's any number of examples of, you know, that great phrase, lessons must be learned, well, the next one is sod's law going to be a bit different in some key respect from, you know, what's gone before. But it's having that agility, if you like, to be able to adapt as and when circumstances develop. I wouldn't want to be in the shoes of the poor people that have got to organise it, but somebody has to be in charge, you know, the proverbial fat controller, if you like, the single point of reference that is an overall command.
There's another point, isn't there, that isn't about passengers' experience. It's about the impression the place gives and the impression the service gives.
Yes.
If you've arrived from another country or another part of this country even and are using Euston for the first time, you're in for a shock.
It's, as I said at the beginning, I think it's a 1960s legacy. It's way beyond its best before date. Some would say it's even past its, you know, used by date. And there are, fortunately, other examples around London. And obviously, one doesn't have to go far down the road to see St Pancras, which is also a place which can suffer crush conditions. We all have heard of the stories of when Eurostar sits down for whatever reason, and you've got people queuing around the block there. And there are places which, at least generally speaking, outside periods of disruption, are very pleasant places to be in. You know, they're destinations in their own right.
Yeah.
You would not call the current Euston a destination in its own right. Frankly, it is a bit of a stress purchase, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I mean, and again, you know, there are other stations. It's not just London, as you pointed out, but, you know, I found myself waiting at King's Cross or waiting at St Pancras, and, you know, you wouldn't choose to go there for a coffee and a bite to eat, but it's okay if you have to. But Richmond is just, Euston is just the polar opposite of those places, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, and it's long overdue for a rebuild, and it's just really, really unfortunate that, you know, we are taking far, far too long to work out and just get on with
fixing it,
doing what needs doing there. I mean, it's not just the capacity of the railway. Even, you know, if you cut HS2 out of it, it is the sheer size of the passenger carrying capability of the place as people try to get ready to get on and then come off a train.
Mm. And as you say, you know, it's a great thing that more people want to use trains. It's a great thing that advertisers can you know, benefit from those, that space and that billboard space. Nothing wrong with that at all. But it still has to be, first and foremost, a railway station.
Yeah, and that's right. You know, it's not an advertising space. That's ancillary and sometimes...
significant,
you know,
but it's not what it's there for.
Well, quite, yes.
Great to talk to you, Roger, a fellow Euston survivor. Roger Blake, Vice Chair for London and the South East for the campaign group Rail Future.